This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
It is Thanksgiving week, which means we got three games on Thursday and a special episode of the Breakout Football Podcast here on the Bleav Podcast Network. I'm Zach Cohen of the Draft Network alongside the cordial Cole Topham of Devil's Digest. As always, we will kick things off with our weekly superlatives and our 10 takes on 10 players. Then we'll go rapid fire on some players we do or don't want on our rosters for the rest of this season. And finally, of course, we will end with your questions, and boy, did we get some good ones today. But Cole, it's only fair that we start with a news recap of the last few days, and there really hasn't been anything too crazy. Michael Carter out 2 to 3 weeks. The Titans cut Adrian Peterson. Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram didn't participate in practice Monday. So nothing huge, not necessarily up to the standard of the news we've gotten on previous Mondays and Tuesdays. But any major takeaways there?
I mean, maybe not with the players, but we definitely had some, you know, head coaching carousel going on. We have rumblings that Matt Nagy could be out of a job once he has coached after Thanksgiving, which is interesting. And there's certainly a lot of speculation and smoke around there. But Jason Garrett is also out as offensive coordinator for the Giants. So that has major implications for Kadarius Toney and Kenny Golladay, Evan Ingram, all those pass catchers over there in New York, because Freddie Kitchens is now going to be calling plays for the Giants. You know, that the tubby, you know, mustache faced figure from the Browns a few years ago. Yeah, that's him. That is him. He has migrated over to the Big Apple, and he is now in blue and red. So
we won't really
know. That's going to be an experiment.
Yeah, it's going to be a terrible experiment. One that should have they should have kept in the kitchen. No, I'm just kidding. Well, we're going to forego all kitchens puns for the remainder of the podcast just because
I think that's wise.
Yeah, there's so many of them. We're not going to delve into that. In terms of like how it impacts the Giants, like we just won't really know. I highly doubt there's going to be much changes. If anything, maybe they get the ball to Saquon Barkley more. Kadarius Toney looks like the second best offensive player on the Giants. Maybe the third is Andrew Thomas. I don't know. He's looked a little bit better than Darius Slayton or Kenny Golladay has. That's for sure. A healthy Sterling Shepard, maybe.
Did you see the ESPN article that came out that said multiple league executives would not give Barkley a second contract?
I get it. I mean, the durability is obviously a concern with him. He's still so talented, but the best ability is availability, you know?
Exactly. It's just, it's crazy how someone so obviously talented. Mm-hmm. And so when he is on his A game, when he is on the field, far and away better than any other running back that steps foot on the field on Sunday.
It just seems like they're all going for a rebuild in the Big Apple. The Giants, like Dave Gettleman should have been out a long time ago. I don't even know if Joe Judge is the guy there. Daniel Jones shouldn't be a starting NFL quarterback. A lot of questions with the Giants. I guess the only real positive is like Barkley, when he plays, is good. Toney looks good. Like what else? What else? At least from an offensive standpoint. I don't really pay too much attention to the defense because offense is where they make the money, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like New York is going to be in this strange honeymoon period for a little while because, you know, Kadarius Toney on draft day was viewed as this kind of project and no one really knew how he was going to fit in with New York. Like, was New York creative enough to maximize Toney in that offense? And throughout the season, it looks like that's been the case. You know, Toney has had some flashy plays. He's looked the part on offense, and it looks like New York can use him in a way that's going to maximize his unique abilities. But that is slowly going to fade away, like that awe of it, because ultimately winning football games is what pleases the fan base most. And even though Kadarius Toney is a human joystick and he can zip and zap around the field, eventually there's going to be a point where that is going to wear off on the fan base and they're going to be wanting more. And when the Giants aren't winning football games, that's when you have to blow everything up.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's a whole new face to that organization next season, whether from a head coaching standpoint, a quarterback standpoint, GM standpoint. Everything has got to go, which means we should probably get into our weekly superlatives. But before we do, big news. We have a sponsor. We have a sponsor, Cole. And I will tell the people about our quick little sponsor.
It's exciting.
It is called LinkMe. You might be asking, what the hell is LinkMe? Well, let me tell you, it is an amazing new social media platform. There are thousands of new users joining daily, and you can start posting on their feed to gain new exposure for your personal brand, business, whatever. My favorite part about it is that they're also a link sharing platform, which means you can add all your social profiles or website links to your profile and share it with anyone. You're even given a custom QR code to connect. So if you meet someone, they can scan it and then it goes to your profile, and everything from your LinkedIn to your TikTok, Instagram, Venmo, your PS4 handle, all right there. It is so easy to scan with people when you meet them for the first time. It's easy to share all your profiles and simplify network. LinkMe, download it. First sponsor of the Breakout Football Podcast. We are also the first ever LinkMe sponsored podcast. So we're breaking records here already. Super happy to have them on board. Go download the app, LinkMe. Big time stuff coming. Big time stuff. Look at this.
Yeah, no, we're it's awesome to have a sponsor that believes in us. Do you see what I did there, Zach?
Believe. I got it. Well, I can tell you right now, there's already a few players who I heavily believe in. As we go to our weekly superlatives, as always, we each got two. Could be good, could be bad, could be a little bit of both. Cole, kick things off as always.
Yeah, so my first superlative is thank gosh for PPR. And this is going to be awarded to someone we've talked about pretty frequently on the podcast, Dolphins rookie wide receiver Jalen Waddle. Yeah. Because if it hadn't been for PPR, this guy would have had a pretty mediocre stat line. No touchdowns, 9 targets, 65 yards on 8 receptions. When you head to the stat sheet, that's over 20 points, and he's a top 15 wide receiver play. But that's with points per reception. If you take away that, he doesn't even crack the top 20. So Jalen Waddle doing just enough to stay fantasy relevant in PPR leagues. And I mean, that's why we have points per reception, right?
Yep. Of course, we do everything in PPR here on BFP, unless otherwise noticed. But I can tell you right now, there is one player who it does not matter what type of format you're in, unless you get 1 point for every 5 touchdowns, then Jonathan Taylor is the fantasy MVP of the season. We had to shout him out. Of course we did. He scored more than the RB3 and RB4 combined. Probably would have looked even better had Austin Eckler not gone up and dropped a multi-touchdown performance as well. There's no doubt in my mind that Taylor is the first pick in fantasy drafts next season. I don't care if it's best ball, dynasty, whatever, JT, RB1, player one. He scored in each game since week 3. And then looking forward, he has an average schedule to end the season, but it doesn't even matter because the offense is so well designed for him. The Colts offense is Taylor. I wouldn't put it past voters giving him an MVP vote in the actual football world, but in this world of fictional football, there is no other player I'd want more on my roster than Jonathan Taylor right now, hands down.
He just runs angry every single week. And I remember there was a point in the draft process where people were looking at, oh, he has a high number of carries throughout his collegiate career. How is that going to shape into the NFL? Is he going to be a little bit too tired, beaten down, battered down? I think it's safe to say that those predictions just didn't come to fruition because Jonathan Taylor is a exciting football player to watch.
Yeah, to me, that argument of, oh, he might be battered, he gets used a lot in college. And also the flip side of that, like, oh, he doesn't get used much, he's going to have a lot of miles, so they can use him a lot. That seems like a bunch of BS to me. You have a whole offseason where you could train and practice and prepare without getting bruised and battered by grown men every single weekend. So to me, like, I don't care if they've been used five plays a game, you get seven carries like Damian Pierce or like Josh Jacobs used to, or if you're an every down workhorse back like Taylor was at Wisconsin. Good players can play. Taylor's a good player. Heck, he's probably one of the best in the league right now.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of load management in the NFL is just kind of folly, and it's very interesting every single year to watch people try and put NFL players into the same box that they put NBA players, even though there's like two entirely different sports with two entirely different timetables, right? I mean, obviously NFL plays less games than NBA, but on game day, on Sundays, like, if you can walk, then you're on the field on the NFL. And that's just the way it is. Players play hurt. And I mean, not to say like Jonathan Taylor is nursing injuries, but he definitely delivers like the same amount of hits that he takes. So.
Exactly. He is one of the best running backs in the last 3, 4, 5 years to have on your fantasy team, which makes me wonder, is there any other running back you'd want to talk about with your final superlative for the week?
Yeah, I got Joe Mixon. And the superlative is false promises. And I say that, but I don't say it convincingly because there's a question mark next to promises. Week 11, this is the Raiders. He had a season high 30 attempts, 123 rushing yards, averaging 4.1 yards per carry, and adding on 2 touchdowns to boot for 24 PPR points, ranking in the top 5 running backs for the week. And this is the type of, you know, mid-season form entering fantasy playoff form that you'd like to see, you know, your top draft pick hitting. And I think Mixon is really coming into his own. And remember a few weeks ago I picked this guy to finish as RB1 for the season, and I'm gonna stand by the prediction. He's RB6 so far, and there's still plenty enough time for him to piece together multiple high scoring weeks. But I think, you know, these next few weeks could be a real dangerous stretch for Mixon. And I mean, he's over 20 points in over his last 3 games, over 20 points over 4 of his last 5 games. So I think this is a different Mixon that isn't going to let fantasy owners down this time around in 2021.
Something that's being slept on too with the Bengals offense as a whole is they've been throwing the ball a lot less. Their neutral pass rate has dipped. Where at the beginning of the season, through the first few weeks, they were top 6, top 7 in throwing the ball in neutral situations, which favors like first and second and third downs, not overtime. It makes it a lot more streamlined. Anyway, my point is, the Bengals are running the ball a lot more, whether it's because they trust Mixon more or because he's just been playing better or a little bit of both. It's whatever. The reality is Mixon's getting the ball a lot. That's a good superlative. I pick Najee Harris. It's looking a little bit less likely now. It's like to be the RB1 by the end of the season, but still possible.
He took some scary hits the other day.
Yeah, he left the game for a bit. If I were a Najee Harris owner, I would have my eyes set on Benny Snell, not as a waiver pickup, but like if you need a stash, you got an extra spot on your bench, keep an eye on Snell because he's been the second back for the Steelers, although Harris has played more than 90% of the snaps of the position this season.
Yeah, I mean, running backs are just super valuable this time of the year where the top of the rankings get pretty thinned out. And you're really just relying on those that can stay healthy. And that's really important because at this point in the year where everyone's, you know, nursing some licks, it's basically stopping the run is harder, like later in the NFL season. And that's why Derrick Henry, who unfortunately we won't be able to see his prowess in the back half of the season, is just so dominant because trying to stop the battering ram that is Derrick Henry when you're just on your last legs and afterburners trying to just get to the end of the season. It seems like an impossible task. And so that's why you see a lot of these teams relying on the run more. And so if you have a workhorse running back on your roster, then get ready and strap in for, you know, a lot of high carry weeks in the future.
It's kind of ridiculous to think that Henry is injured because he was always like the Iron Man of the position. It's just been such a weird season. And I think another example of that is how Patrick Mahomes has played as of late, which ties into my final superlative, the biggest trade bait. Mm-hmm. Now, I got to give you some credit because from week 7 to 9, Mahomes averaged about 10 points. That's 3 starts where he was not even a quarterback 2. That prompted you to say people should consider benching him
over Teddy Bridgewater. Remember that?
Yes.
What an idiot I was.
Well, you said that he goes off and drops 36.2 points and then you're like, oh man, that wasn't good.
Just rein in the takes. That's the last time I'll stick my neck out there.
Well, guess what happened? He put up 7.5 points. You were right. You cannot trust him every week. Look, Mahomes is still one of the best players in football, no doubt about it. But you can't trust him every week. You just can't. And look at the last 4 games in Kansas City's schedule. Their defense was the ones that kept him in the game, not the offense. Look, Mahomes was still playing fine, but he's not playing it like the Patrick Mahomes everyone knows and loves. And looking ahead, Mahomes on a bye this week. Then he gets the Broncos, the Raiders, and the Chargers. Denver and LA are top 10 in FPA, or fantasy points allowed, which means Denver has allowed the 4th fewest points to quarterbacks. The Chargers have allowed the 7th fewest points to quarterbacks. Now, I will say in week 16 to 17, Mahomes gets 2 defenses in the bottom 8 in FPA, but you need to get there first. How can you worry about the championship if you're not even in the playoffs yet? You can't.
You just can't.
You got to worry about the playoff weeks first, then figure out the title weeks once you have the next couple of weeks settled. So feel free to use that as a selling point for trading Mahomes, because if you own Mahomes right now, you should 100% look into trading him, unless your backup is like a Taylor Heinicke or a Jimmy Garoppolo. He is the biggest trade bait in fantasy right now. Get rid of him.
Yeah, no, I agree. Sell high on the name while you still can. And especially like you have that 30-point performance in the bag just a few weeks ago. That is proof that he can still, you know, turn it on. He can still operate with the same healthy arrogance that he holds. And you just hope that there's more 7-point performances in the future than there are the 30-point performances. So I like selling Mahomes in this situation. Get yourself a more, you know, consistent quarterback option that basically you're going to know what to expect, right? That isn't as volatile, that is reliable.
What a world we live in where Trevor Siemian's a better start than Patrick Mahomes. My goodness. Who would have thought?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Had NFL in 2021.
It's weird. Well, with that, we will get into our 10 takes. Cole and I each got 5 players for the other person, and we will give a take on them. Why don't you give me a player first? What's a player you'd like to hear a take on?
Yeah, Zach. How about Cam Newton, okay? Returned to Carolina. DJ Moore. What does that do for his fantasy stock? But also, it feels like Cam never left. He's just fit into this team perfectly and seamlessly. And, I mean, he wears Carolina on his sleeve. Mm-hmm.
It was so great to see Cam Newton back. He also just looked pretty good. Like you said, he just seemed like he never left. He had 26.16 fantasy points, only 189 passing yards, but he did pass for 2 touchdowns. He also ran for a touchdown with 46 rushing yards. He completed 21 of 27 passes. Look at this man. It's like he never skipped a beat. However, it was against Washington, and they are dead last in FPA to quarterbacks. So, yeah, Cam did have an easy matchup. But one more performance like this, and Newton will be firmly in the quarterback one territory. He would be a must start every week just based on his rushing ability and his usage. It sets a very high floor for him. So he'll probably be on your, a starter on your team for the rest of the season. Maybe not for his bye in week 13. Let's get that out of the way, which is another thing to keep an eye on if you are making trades at the trade deadline this week. I would assume it's this week. You don't really want players to have a bye because these are going to be crucial weeks unless you can afford to take a hit. Say you have only lost one game, you're locked into the playoffs. Okay, then feel free to trade for some players who are on bye weeks. And then obviously Newton does have Miami and Atlanta, both of whom are in the bottom six of FPA to quarterbacks this season. Cam is one more good game away from proving he is a must start every week.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. I can't believe that we're here 3 years later after Cam Newton was, it kind of felt like he was forced out. Like it was like a divorce that was reluctant. You know what I mean? And yeah. I think Carolina's changed a lot. They realize they've got some weapons. They got a better supporting cast and Cam Newton's reaping the benefits. And it just seems like, you know, some things are better off just leaving unchanged.
Yep. They needed to pave way for a new young franchise quarterback. And while Carolina didn't find one, I need your take on this franchise quarterback because he hasn't been playing so hot lately. What's your take on Josh Allen moving forward?
I think if Josh Allen did not have the luck that he has right now, then we would be talking about him and his inconsistencies in the same way that we talk about Mahomes each week, at least now, where I mean, the dude has five picks over the last three games. He's coming off a pretty lackluster passing performance against the Colts, where he threw 35 times and only completed 21 passes for 209 yards. And that's just not something you want to see when you've got a downward trajectory on the slope to the fantasy playoffs. And so, I mean, I think Allen is he'll iron out the shakiness, but it's not good to see because I mean some of the throws he was making during that game were absolutely terrible. And defenders were just like dropping interceptions left and right. And it's not even just that game. Like in the two other weeks that I discussed, he's been so lucky in the fact that like interceptions have just slipped through the fingers of defensive backs. So, I mean, that's my take on Josh Allen. I think he has been extremely lucky the last few weeks. And if this like inaccuracy throwing the football continues, then I think it might hurt people that put too much faith in him as the games really start to mean more at the end of the season.
I just have no clue what's going on with this Buffalo offense. They have looked so out of sync the last few weeks. And obviously that's been impacting Josh Allen. I was going to say benefiting, but that just would not be the right word choice there.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of weird. Like they did have like a pretty early bye and some teams will take that bye and make adjustments and look spectacular. And some will take the week off and really, you know, lose their any sort of sense of momentum. And I feel like that's what's kind of happened to Buffalo. I mean, the weather was also kind of terrible that game too. It's tough when you're gunslinger quarterback, you're limited by the elements. But I mean, at the same time, it's concerning nonetheless.
Extremely concerning. With that, we'll move past the quarterbacks, get some takes on some skill players. Who's the first one you got? Give me a name. I'm ready. I got the arsenal. I got all the numbers, the stats, the data. Let's go. Let's figure this out.
Yeah, like I said, the running back group, as we get toward the end of the season, is thinning out. So, Devontae Freeman.
Oh.
What do you think of him as an option?
Oh, man. He's a good option, and I can't believe I'm saying this. It just goes to show how bad the running back situation is, not just
when he
now
was the highest paid running back in football.
Oh, my goodness. What
seems like an eon ago.
Yeah, wasn't a mistake, but just like it's crazy to me to see him be back. And like, he is one of the hottest running backs in football right now, not because he's putting up 20 plus points each week, but because you probably could have gotten him on the waivers this week, let alone last week. And if he still is there, scoop him up immediately. Now, I don't know if I'd start him. It really depends. Yeah, he's posted double digit points in four of the last five games, and he appears to be the Baltimore running back of choice. And look, yeah, Latavius Murray did nothing in his first game back from injury, though maybe that changes next week against Cleveland. He just has like average matchups for the rest of the season too. I would say be cautious with starting Freeman because he seems to be a bit too touchdown dependent to rely on every week, but points are points. And when you're averaging the production Freeman has been, look, like, yeah, he's an option to start and 100% someone who shouldn't be on waivers right now.
Yeah, I'm thinking back to the beginning of the season where it looked like a pretty, you know, 1-2, a Ravens backfield primed to deliver a 1-2 punch. And then completely, like, the identity of that backfield has been completely turned upon its head. Or it seems like we're getting a lot of some of our old heroes, like Le'Veon Bell and Devontae Freeman, thrown in the mix. I couldn't, if you would have given me like the odds, where you said Devontae Freeman would be the starting running back three quarters of the way through the 2021 season, like 10 months ago, I think I would have like laughed you off.
Everything about this season is so freaking weird. Like, oh, the Titans, in order to replace Derrick Henry, signed Adrian Peterson only to cut him.
Yeah.
So much weirdness about it all. Something that's not been weird is James Robinson. He's been all right. Hasn't been a consistent producer of enough points, but he's been all right. What's your take on Robinson?
Yeah, I mean, I think Robinson is he's been solid, and I think he's right in the area where he isn't like game changing, but he's been like a decent pickup for not pickup, but I mean, you know what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. Like a decent running back too for this season. And I applaud him for that because it's kind of seemed like after Travis Etienne went down, Robinson was, it seemed like he was going to get figured out. Right. It seemed like Urban Meyer didn't really have a plan for him outside of, you know, just being the type of slasher rollback to, you know, get the offense a few yards and then let Trevor Lawrence cook the ball. And the fact that he's the running back 14 on the season, he's actually tied right now with Darrell Henderson. I think that's like super impressive that he's been able to adapt to this head coaching change, or this adversity in the backfield when it didn't seem like he was going to have a huge role to begin with Travis Etienne entering the fold and then, you know, getting injured to start the season. So I think James Robinson is definitely beating expectations this season.
Yep, and good for him. There certainly have been a lot of players to be doing it regardless. Obviously, there's busts every year, but people kind of look like we're from where Robinson was at the start of last season to becoming like this solid running back, even if the team he's on is terrible. Good for him. That's good for him, especially good for fantasy players. And if you do have Robinson and you are in a dynasty league, might I add, you should trade him immediately because ETN, look, they drafted him in the first round. ETN's coming back. I'm already thinking way ahead here. Way ahead. You got to keep an eye on those rookies.
You got to play the long con game. But, I mean, I wouldn't have expected Robinson this season to have more PPR points than Dalvin Cook or Antonio Gibson. I mean, even throw Josh Jacobs in there.
Yeah, it's telling you, it's a weird freaking season. We'll keep it clean, of course. I'll keep the ball rolling on 10 takes here on the Breakout Football Podcast, now sponsored by LinkMe. Great app, multi-uses. Yep. Definitely got to go check it out if you haven't already. And if you download the app and create an account, I'm talking to you, our beautiful listener, or you, Cole, whatever you want, then you will be granted basically unlimited questions. You can just ask us questions from the app. Just do that, and then how will we not see it? So download LinkMe, first ever sponsor of the Breakout Football Podcast. Big things as we keep the ball rolling here on our Week 12 Thanksgiving episode.
Now, I mean, what you said earlier, though, about how LinkMe, you know, you can bring it up, barcode, you can scan it, and then you have all their information. Like, that's totally the future of our world. And sorry to get off on this tangent, but with like crypto and NFTs and everything that's that's going on like that, like having your own personal page that's like your own embedded code and everything like that, like your own personal link me page that has everything social connected to it that is like strictly your own is like totally is totally the future and is going to definitely be worth a lot of money these days, and especially if we keep this up, Zach.
Yeah, we'll have to see where it goes. Great app. We keep the ball rolling on 10 takes. Give me a player. I'm feeling hot. I'm feeling like I'm on a roll right now. Who you got next?
Yeah, I have seen. So I feel like every time I log on to Twitter, I see this player's name at the top of my feed, and it's okay. Elijah Moore. You can dig up any sort of stat for every single category, and his name is at the top of the list. He is going ballistic the last 4 weeks. And I feel like, you know, that's what is encouraging to you.
Elijah Moore was my favorite wide receiver pick at the beginning of the season. I am so happy that panned out. He's just so good. He's been on fire. He's piled up double digit games since week 7. Thank goodness for Mike White, Josh Johnson, and Joe Flacco.
Now, I was about to say, and he's put it up with 3 different quarterbacks.
Yeah, he must not be a big fan of Zach Wilson coming back this week. Because, look, Moore is coming off his second game of 27-plus points in the last 3 games. You got to ride the hot hand. You just got to. Look, he started off slow with injuries, and yeah, Zach Wilson, again, not the greatest, but it is time to let Moore fly in your lineups. He has a solid matchup against Houston, a tough one against Philly, and great ones against New Orleans and Miami. Elijah Moore, wide receiver 2 moving forward in fantasy lineups.
Yeah, I saw this tweet once that like listed his target share over the last 4 weeks. I'm trying to find it right now, but I can't. But I bet it was something insane for sure.
That's the thing. It's like a okay target share, wide receiver 1 target share on the Jets. But he's just such a good player that, look, he can see like an above average target share. He's just making it happen. He is just producing. Moore is really the rookie receivers this season have all been really good for the most part. Rondale Moore, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Rashad Bateman, Jamar Chase, Kadarius Toney when he's healthy. I don't think I'm forgetting anymore, but Elijah Moore, man, he's probably my favorite of the bunch. There's a lot to like about him.
Yeah, and the Jets deserve somebody like a playmaker like this, right? Because I don't think they've had a receiver like this exciting since Robbie Anderson. And I don't even think Robbie Anderson was all that exciting. Like, I think there is a point where the Jets were entering the season with Robbie Anderson as the number one wide receiver. And I was making jokes like really, this is the core that the Jets are throwing out there to the Wolves and to the rest of the AFC East to get picked upon. So, I mean, it's good to see the Jets take like a step in the right direction, especially in their draft evaluation process, because it is they're not some happy campers over there.
Nope. Let's see. There's been one player that like I've been thinking about for a while, and I got asked about him earlier today, and I just need your opinion on it. What the hell should we be doing with Tony Pollard right now? Is he worth a start? Is he like, obviously he's worth a bench spot, right? What's your opinion on him?
I flip-flop on Pollard so often because mm-hmm. like it seems like it comes in waves, right? I mean, it's like it's literally like a wavelength, right? He'll have one game where he scores around like 15 points or something like that. He'll get decent work in the receiving game. He might even go over like 100 yards rushing or at least get decent enough usage in the rushing game where you're like, okay, he's having a larger role than we anticipated. He's splitting, not evenly, but at least getting a decent chunk of Zeke's carries to the point where, you know, we start considering him in like the running back 2 flex range. But I mean, Pollard hit, he'll go stretches where he scores 23, he scores 14.3. And then on the other hand, on the flip side, a few weeks later, 3.7 and 5.3 PPR points. And I mean, he plays the Raiders Thanksgiving week, and Zeke is, it's up in the air with his knee injury. So I think I would play Pollard as a pretty safe running back too against the Raiders Thanksgiving week. But aside from like the foreseeable future, I just don't think he's even worth it as a handcuff, just because you never know what his usage is going to like. It legitimately comes down to game script. It's not like this Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, when both are healthy, where there's a pretty even split and you can tell like, you know, which player is going to get game scripted out. Like with the Cowboys, you don't really know what's going to happen, and it's not worth rolling the dice.
I don't really have anything to add to that. Like, no, that was perfect. Like, geez, did you rehearse that? Cause like, yeah, exactly. You hit on all the points, and that's a little bit of a spicy take though. Yeah. We need to see what's up with Elliott's knee. I think it'll be fine for Thursday. I think he's playing the second game. So I think he should be fine. I haven't seen any reports suggesting he won't be as of now, but like, ooh, starting Pollard RB2. I don't know. You might need to be a little on the desperate side for that.
Yeah, I mean, Theo Ash, who we had on, I think it was week 2, on the Breakout Football podcast, he firmly believes that Tony Pollard is a better running back than Ezekiel Elliott, and that the Cowboys would do themselves a favor by shipping Zeke out of Dallas.
I could make that argument. I don't know if I would, but I think I could. I think I could. Well, what player do you want to hear me rant about? I don't know if I can match that rant you just went on, but I'll do my best.
Yeah, definitely good luck on that. But we talked about Josh Allen earlier, Emmanuel Sanders. I feel like he's been a nice little sleeper matchup-based pick for a few weeks this season. What are you expecting from him, like, moving forward? Is Buffalo going to get a little bit more consistent in the passing game?
I have a massive bone to pick with the Buffalo Bills offense, especially Emmanuel Sanders. He started the season so hot. Through the first 6 games, he averaged 15 points. Over the last 4 games, he's barely averaged 6. The sad part is it all changed after the bye week. As real as post-bye week bumps are, so are post-bye week flops. I've been saying that all throughout the show's history, that things change after the bye weeks and can stay that way. And right now, Sanders is not relevant enough in fantasy. It's even sadder when you look at how easy the Bills' schedule has been to this point. And their next few games, weeks 13 to 16, oh man, that's one bumpy hell of a road if Sanders is going to complete a comeback and return to how he was playing at the beginning of the season. In those 4 weeks, all the teams they're playing are in top 11 of FPA to wide receivers. Trade him, get rid of him. You can't start him. Consider cutting him. Maybe not this week, but in a week, if he continues to suck. Sorry, Emmanuel Sanders, but like, you're letting me down over here. I don't know what to say any more than that. He's definitely on my naughty list.
Yeah, I mean, what happened to Buffalo? Like, they just seem to have lost any sort of touch of aggressiveness that they carried over from last season. I mean, they basically allowed, you know, the top of the AFC East to slip through their fingers to the Patriots, who not only look like the best team in the division, but one of the best teams in the conference. So it's a different Bills team than we saw from last year. And it kind of seems like it stems from the top down with Josh Allen.
The AFC is so up for grabs right now, man. We got no idea what's going to happen. And it's kind of like how we have no idea what's really going to happen with Brandon Ayuk every week. He has been frustrating the hell out of fantasy managers all season long. Just had a great game, but is it enough to start him moving forward? What's your thoughts on Ayuk?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's enough to start him moving forward, because, I mean, honestly, there's a great chance Ayuk is floating around on your waivers because a bunch of fantasy managers got sick of Shanahan's shenanigans and just decided, okay, we're not going to deal with this. But, I mean, Ayuk, 18.7 PPR points 2 weeks ago. You know, LA Rams, kind of a rough game, 5.6, but rebounded in a big way, caught all 7 of his targets for 85 yards and a touchdown, 21.5 PPR points. This looks like the Brandon Ayuk and the usage of old. And, you know, whether he's a safe start moving forward, I don't think so. I think you still have to throw caution to the wind, especially since, you know, Debo Samuel is going to command a gargantuan target share each week, no matter who the opponent, like he always does. But I mean, that 7-for-7 line and finding the end zone, that's his second end zone trip in the last 3 weeks. It's definitely a good start, and it's a good start that could lead to, you know, more starts in your fantasy lineup moving forward.
Dude, I don't know. I'd feel like we are just on a freaking roll today. Like, oh man, like Ayuk's like thing with me is we just don't know. We just don't know. Like, there's no real way of knowing what the hell he's going to be doing each week. There's so many question marks, because 1 week he'll ball out, the next week he won't. There's really no explanation why, because the Niners are just playing all over the freaking place, man. Like, we just I couldn't tell you. Like, I don't think I'd confidently start Ayuk this week, and you are right, he was the number one wide receiver on my waiver pickup this week, and I was shocked to see that he was available in nearly half of fantasy leagues according to Fantasy Pros.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Kyle Shanahan. He has a to-do list taped to like the top of his refrigerator, and at the top of the to-do list is like find a role for Brandon Ayuk this week, and sometimes he crosses that off like three times over, and sometimes he just leaves that box unchecked and doesn't worry about it. So I mean, hopefully it seemed like with him leading the 49ers in targets against the Jaguars that he was a little bit more of a priority, but I mean, this was only his second time getting 7 or more targets this season. His last time was against Arizona, where he had 8 targets, and that was also his second highest scoring outing of the season. So, I mean, what that correlates to is just get the ball in Brandon Ayuk's hands more and let him, you know, work his magic in space. But it kind of seems like even that is a struggle.
Two more takes left for each of us before we get into our thumbs up or thumbs down. Some rapid fire players, trade for, trade away, fan questions to end. But first, I got a player for you. You got a player for me. Let's hear yours for me. Let's try not to get too angry about it.
I can't believe you snuck your little fantasy football crush in here, but somehow we're talking about TJ Hawkinson for who knows, God knows, like, how many times we've mentioned his name on his podcast. But okay, Zach, I get it. You know, like the Lions, they're finally going to face reality here in a few weeks, and maybe they'll start tanking. But I just get it over with. What do you have to say about TJ Hawkinson?
Well, first off, I think the Lions not only beat the Bears on Thursday, but they send Matt Nagy packing. So let's plant that flag now.
Okay. All right.
Second off, I try to talk about players that like other people are talking about, and it's always the same tight ends. It's always the tight ends that balled out or didn't show out at all. Hawkinson didn't really do either, but remember last week he had a donut, and yeah, we do talk about him a lot. And I did say after his donut in week 10 against that weird Pittsburgh game, don't panic, chill out. And look, he did bounce back with a solid 11.1 points, finished as the tight end 15. He's still tied for the third most games as a tight end 1, so he still has not been a bad pick. The only good pick at tight end this season has really been Travis Kelce. You probably overdrafted Darren Waller, but even then, he's still been a player you could start each week. But those are kind of it. Like, there's really hasn't been a good tight end this season. But looking at Hawkinson, for as good as he was to start the season, he's tapered off a bit. I'm a little worried. I'm not going to lie. And not just because of his talent.
Doubts creeping into Zach's brain here?
A little bit. And it's mostly because of his schedule. The next 4 games, he faces the 2nd, 1st, 4th, and 8th toughest teams against tight ends. Having Tim Boyle or Tim Boyle Light, a.k.a. Jared Goff, doesn't help. So I'm a little weary of starting Hawkinson moving forward. And not just because the Lions offense is the equivalent to baloney. It just sucks.
Yeah, I feel like it's at this point in the season where you start looking at the remainder. You analyze your fantasy football playoff hopes, and you start to look at the remainder of your schedule and what opponents your players play. And then you're like, man, I really should have took this into account when I was drafting my team. And of course, it's already late. And of course, you're not going to worry about that on draft day. But there's that little pit in your stomach where you kind of see like a sea of red for like week 14 in terms of like the matchup quality. And you're like, yikes, I'm really going to have to play the first place team with this lineup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always been big on who cares about bye weeks or perceived schedule difficulty when you're drafting. You'll figure that stuff out later. But at the same time, obviously there comes a point like around week 10, week 11, where you start to look at the weeks past your trade deadline. You start to look at the playoffs. So if you your deadline hasn't passed yet, TJ Hockenson could be a player you tried to trade away right now. And with that, are we done? Do we got to get to one more player? You got one more player. That's right.
I got one more player, but it's easy to skip over me because I decided not to go the tight end route. I am rebelling. I am not going to talk about a tight end this week because the tight end position is a wasteland. And every single year they just rely on touchdowns, and it's a cheap way to play the position. And I think kickers are more valuable. Anyway, there's the rant. We're going to talk about Darnell Mooney because he has enjoyed a spectacular last 3 weeks, 49ers, Steelers, Ravens. He put up a combined 55 points across all three of those teams. This latest outing against Baltimore, he only had 5 catches, but he made all of them count to the tune of 121 yards and a touchdown. He had 16 targets this game. I mean, that's just a bonkers stat line. I mean, I know Allen Robinson's, you know, been nursing injuries and everything, and Mooney is kind of really the only reliable option in the passing game, but 16 targets, like that is the potential of Darnell Mooney to take over this offense as a leading weapon. And I think that's encouraging for the Bears, who are you know, this isn't a fantasy implication, but it bodes well for Mooney's future in this offense that they trust him as a legitimate weapon and not as just like a field stretcher. That's what those 16 targets prove to me. And so I think there are definitely brighter days ahead for Mooney, and this nice little stretch where it's 12, 20, and 23 points proves that, you know, he has what it takes to ascend into that upper echelon of fantasy wide receiver rankings.
Mm-hmm. I love Mooney. I tweeted about him over the weekend too. He's not like your typical wide receiver one, but he just gets the job done. And we'll have a little bit more on him in a little bit too, as we switch from our 10 takes to our new segment. Thumbs up or down, pretty dang simple. It's like a Coliseum rapid fire type of game. Cole's got 5 players he's going to bring to the arena, if you will. I got 5 players I'll bring. We're going to put up our thumbs. Obviously, we will tell you if our thumb is up or down. And we will say a little snippet or two why. Just rapid fire, quick hit advice on these 5 players, with the theme being, would you trade for this player or would you trade him away? So you got your first 5 players. Do you want me to give my 5 first, or do you want to go first?
Nah, I'll go straight ahead. Let's plunge into mine.
All right, sounds good. Your first player, who is it?
All right, it's Kirk Cousins. Like we said, we're going to be holding our thumbs up. Right now it's at a neutral position. Are you trading for or away Kirk Cousins? Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Ooh.
Okay, we agree. Up. You go first, Zach.
Just simply put, like, he's a formidable backup. He's not going to start for you every week, but based on his matchup and look at like what he's done throughout the season, he's had like 3 or 4 weeks where he just was unstartable, but every other week he's putting up solid enough points. I don't know if I'd start him every week, but someone I'd trade for if I really needed a quarterback, mostly because he's probably someone's backup.
Yeah. I mean, if I had Mahomes, I think I'd probably trade for Cousins. And yeah, with just how volatile Mahomes is, I'd probably, you know, lean towards the consistency of Cousins if I'm really trying to make like a honest push at the playoff picture.
Yep, there you go. All right, next player. We both agreed on Cousins. Let's see if we can keep that streak rolling. Who's next?
All right, we've debated the Eagles' backfield over the last, you know, few weeks or so, but Miles Sanders, he's returned. He's healthy. What do we think? Is he a back that has had some time to rest up that we feel confident in? 3, 2, 1, go. Oh, wow. That seemed kind of reluctant, Zach.
I don't know.
Reluctant, like, thumbs up.
We both did thumbs up. It's just like he's probably such a buy low at this point. And could you start him right now? Heck no. But the potential is still there. He dominated the Eagles backfield. He only had one target, which isn't great. But still, he led the team in carries by far. Jordan Howard's banged up. Obviously, Jalen Hurts the primary runner there. But the upside with Sanders, it's still there. I wouldn't pay a huge price for him, but he's probably someone you can get relatively cheap for the ceiling that he clearly has.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly my mentality. It likely the person who, you know, manages Sanders in your league is probably pretty frustrated at this point, especially if he drafted Sanders the year before. But we all know that this Philadelphia offense is run first, and whether that's, you know, on the wheels of Jalen Hurts or they're handing the ball off in the backfield, Philadelphia is going to lean toward the run. I mean, you just look at Devontae Smith's numbers, and he's not getting any more than like 6 or 7 targets a game. And so this is a run first Philadelphia offense, and Miles Sanders, you know, if he does truly reach his, you know, his form and his health prevails, I think he could be a sneaky surprise toward the tail end of the season.
There you go. All right. Player number 3, we agreed on the first two. Something tells me we're not going to agree on whoever you bring up next, but let's see what player.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just mentioned his name, unfortunately, but it's Devontae Smith. And I think I may have given my hand away, but should you be trading for, or should you be trading away Devontae Smith? 3, 2, 1.
Oh boy.
Okay. There we go. We disagree.
I think my thing with Devontae Smith is he's still seeing a high enough target share. Look, he put up 10.1 points after putting up 22.6 points in each exactly of the last 2 weeks. He's still dominating the target share in Philadelphia. We've seen his ceiling. Is he a player you can start every week? I don't know, but it's certainly possible. And maybe someone's willing to sell him right now. So I can see the why you'd want to trade away Devontae, but look, I think the talent, the production, the target share, it's still there. Upcoming matchups are juicy. I'm seeing a lot of greens right now. 4 greens, a bye, and 2 New York Giants. So I think I'll take my chances with Smith. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, it was, what concerns me is his ceiling. He reached the 4th week of the season. I mean, and that's to the tune of like 10 targets, and that's his maximum on the season. A lot of these games, he's not even coming anywhere close to that. I mean, even in the last few weeks where he's been so dominant, he had 2 weeks back to back where he had 22.6 PPR points, kind of, you know, left the foot off the gas against New Orleans with 10.1, but 6 targets in all of those games. And that's just, I don't think it's sustainable. The numbers that he's putting up, like, yes, it's nice that he's getting a few touchdowns soaring in there. He's going over 100 yards again this season. And I like Spitty. I think he's one of the best route runners in the game right now. And he was one of my favorite receivers to evaluate in the draft last season. But I just don't think his target share is all that sustainable, especially, like I said, with Miles Sanders coming back and Philadelphia going to be leaning on him more. I just feel like Hurts and Sanders are going to be the true identity of this offense, at least for the rest of the season.
Yep, they easily could be. Like, again, it just kind of depends on the situation you have with your roster. All right, player number 4, bring it to the gladiator arena, if you will. Who you got?
Yeah, we already discussed one Bengals player on this podcast, but we're talking about a receiver this time around, not Ja'Marr Chase, not Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins. Are you trading for or away for T. Higgins? 3, 2, 1. Okay, I'll go first this time. I'm saying,
okay,
T. Higgins, don't trade away like your C.D. Lamb or Ja'Marr Chase for that reason. I'm saying if you are struggling with consistency in like the flex area of your lineup, and especially if you're one of those teams that has been, you know, taken to its deathbed in terms of your running back crop, then I think T. Higgins is a nice option there that you can slot in at your flex, because it seems like he's hovering around 13 to 15 points per game. And really at this tail end of the season, you want is consistency, right? You want players that are going to be consistent, because not all these players, sometimes you're going to have to sub in their backups or their handcuffs, because that's just the reality of fantasy football is players get hurt and you need those fill-in options. With T. Higgins, I mean, he's still getting a pretty decent target share. He's not going to be the number one option in that offense anymore. But I think as the Bengals get into these last few weeks, he's going to be seeing a lot more open looks, and he's going to be giving you consistent production that you can rely on.
My issue with Higgins is he's been a relatively consistent player. Obviously, he had a terrible game against the Raiders. And he's played 7 games this season. Just 2 of them, including this dud this past week, were below 10 points. It's just, to me, okay, are you content throwing in 11, 12 points in your lineup? Or can you use that to upgrade at that position? So that's the thing. To me, I don't think Higgins is a bad fantasy asset. Personally, I think he's overrated as a player, to be honest. But I think you can upgrade from him. I think you can trade Higgins with another player for someone better, using the case that you know what Higgins really is, and it's fine. He's fine for your team. But he's not really going to win you a league. He's not really going to win you a week or anything. So I would trade away T. Higgins.
I think for me, it's more just about like sending the low ball offers and see what hits. But yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you. Like T. Higgins isn't going to be like the league winning trade move at the deadline. That's going to, sway you to victory in any of your weeks. It's more of just like, okay, if you look at the holes in your roster, where can you find reliable patches, to stop the leaks?
All right, last one from your slim pickings of players, rapid fire, still doing it here on the Breakout Football Podcast, sponsored by LinkMe. God, I love the ring. I love how that sounds.
I mean, somehow a tight end made it into this thumbs up or thumbs down segment, but Pat Freiermuth of the Pittsburgh Steelers, how are we feeling on him? Yay or nay? 3, 2, 1. Okay, we agree. Thumbs up, double thumbs up. I'll go first. I just like Freiermuth's potential in this offense. Obviously, Deontay Johnson enjoyed the big pop-off game this past week, but I mean, with Najee banged up, Claypool banged up, with Juju out for the season, there's just a lot of opportunity for Freiermuth to step into a larger role in this passing game. And he's already overtaken Eric Ebron as the number one tight end in this offense. And not that like tight ends in Pittsburgh have been like all that desirable in years past, but it seems like Big Ben is relying on his big targets a lot more this season. And Freiermuth is he's an athletic option there, and he gets red zone looks. And I mean, what more can you ask for? I mean, that's basically tight end's bread and butter this season is those goal line looks. So I think Freiermuth, he plays this role pretty well and has potential to take on a lot more and shovel, more onto his plate as we get into this back half of the season.
One word, upside.
Yep.
He's got it. That's why I want him. Pretty short and sweet with that. Give me Pat all day long. All right. Those are your 5 players. I got a new batch of 5. And we will start with Russell Wilson. You're trading 4 or away for him? 1, 2, 3. Wait, why did I put my thumb up for some reason? I don't know why. Thumbs down. Dude, thumbs down.
You faked me out. Yeah, thumbs down. Thumbs down.
Two thumbs down. It's pretty simple. Like, he was a sit of the week. He was my sit of the week for a reason. Yeah. Seattle's offense looks horrendous. Looks terrible. Wilson hasn't been helping either. Could he become the Russell Wilson that we've known and seen from him over the years? Sure. But at this point, the chances that he becomes a 20-plus point quarterback every single week seem pretty damn slim. No touchdowns, about 14 total points in the last 2 weeks. Get him off your team. Sell him while you can.
I agree. I think DK Metcalf is really the only option in Seattle that's worth on your roster, because Tyler Lockett, I mean, ever since Wilson went down with his finger injury, just kind of looked lost in there. Chris Carson, he dealt with his nicks and bruises and eventually succumbed to them as well. So, yeah, I mean, any Seattle player not named DK Metcalf, you can miss me with them on my roster.
Miss me with it. Love it. I love it. All right, next player, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Are you trading for him or trading away?
Man. I can't believe I'm doing this.
3, me neither.
Oh.
Thumbs up. Thumbs okay. up across the board.
This has been like an anti-CEH podcast. I mean, not to the point where it's like slanderous, but we have pointed out multiple times, in numerous episodes, that CEH just cannot score red zone touchdowns, right? And he cannot convert on the goal line. And that's exactly what he did in his return. So, and especially with Patrick Mahomes, he's, you know, not playing to the caliber that we expect the legendary Patrick Mahomes to be playing at. And maybe the Chiefs are going to lean on the run as a result of, you know, his inconsistencies airing out the ball. I think there's opportunity for CEH to kind of right, you know, his wrongs and especially return from injury much stronger and more decisive than he was before.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I mean, he only played 47% of the snaps, but putting up 15.6 points. I know the touchdowns caked in there too. Look, I'm not eager to have him on my team, but I prefer to have him on my team than not. I wouldn't really want to trade him away unless I'm getting a clear upgrade. And I don't think that's going to happen in many cases. So I'd trade for him. I think there's still a little buy low tendency with him. All right.
Yeah. Next. You definitely want to lowball that offer for sure.
Oh yeah, you may want to lowball this next player too, because I am also surprised myself with what I think of Myles Gaskin. Let's get the thumbs up or down. There's thumbs up in the air, man. In general, you get the point. Anyway,
on the count of three, your hand, Zach.
Yeah, on the count of three, trade for or trade away. 1, 2, 3. Aha, disagree.
Dude, you know me. I'll never be the biggest Gaskin fan. I think he's pretty overrated and just Miami's offense as a whole, like sometimes it looks like it's clicking. They're feeding Jalen Waddle the ball, and sometimes it just looks entirely in disarray. And I think Gaskin suffers the most out of that.
I think the biggest thing is it just depends on who has Gaskin in your league. Because if you're looking at the odd weeks, he's been an RB1 every odd week since week 5. And then every other even week, every even week, actually, he's just been bad. So it really depends whether you could buy low or sell high for him, but the upside is there, and that is sorely needed among running backs. You definitely can't start him each week, but he's good enough to trade for.
We should get the astronomy numbers on Gaskin's production, like see you know how he produces on a full moon, a half moon, a quarter slice. You know, I feel like we would find some pretty interesting results.
Tell you what, we'll do that at the Breakout Football Podcast Science Roundtable in the offseason. We'll figure that out.
When we reach peak boredom and run out of content. Okay, sounds like a plan.
The content will never stop. It will keep on flowing with our next player. Anyway, we can make so much content about Rashad Bateman, and regardless, and we've talked about him a lot over the last few weeks, but is he someone you want to trade for or someone you want to trade away? Rashad Bateman, hands in the air. 1, 2, 3. Thumbs up across the board.
Yep.
Why?
Thumbs up.
Why are you trading for Bateman?
I mean, just because Lamar Jackson's going to return, and Hollywood is dealing with his fair share of injuries, but we've seen Bateman and his target share since he came back from injury steadily increase in those weeks. And I think it's him, Hollywood, and Mark Andrews that are catching passes in Baltimore. Nobody else is even, you know, coming close to their production. It seems like Bateman has kind of solidified himself in that trio. He's someone that Lamar Jackson trusts, and that's kind of rare because it kind of seemed like it took a while for you know, Marquise Brown and Lamar Jackson to get on the same page. It doesn't really seem like there's been any chemistry issues between Bateman and Jackson so far, and I think that's a really encouraging sign. And so I expect Lamar to rely on Bateman a lot more over these next couple weeks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he played with Tyler Huntley. And even then, Bateman still saw similar target and snap accounts in week 11. Sammy Watkins kind of filled in the Marquise Brown role a little bit. Obviously, Bateman saw a slight uptick in the target share and snap count. But regardless, Bateman's still a player I believe in. Last player. I'm kind of hoping this one divides us because I think it may. Last player, Kyle Pitts. Hands up. Are you trading for Pitts or trading away? 1, 2, 3.
No, we were supposed to disagree, Zach.
We both put our thumbs
on. You know, it's a tight end. You think I would be the one to trade for a tight end, even though it's, you know, Kyle Pitts supposed to be the next kind of prototype at the tight end position? No.
How can you hate him? How can you hate Kyle
Pitts?
I don't hate him.
I don't hate him. I just wouldn't trade for him.
I agree. I completely agree. We both had our thumbs down. You just can't confidently start him right now. I should have known you're going to put your thumb down, you Mr. Anti-tight ends. Gosh, damn. Anyway, yeah, the Falcons offense, they suck. They're terrible. Yeah, Pitts has the upside. Great for him, but I'd rather sell him for that upside, which he has not really hit at all, and get a tight end I can trust more each week. Kyle Pitts. Sorry, man. Mostly not your fault. Again, Falcons offense is disgusting.
It
is
Pat Freiermuth or Kyle Pitts for the rest of the season, Zach?
Taking Pat. Hands down, 100%. And with that, we move into our fan Q&As. We got some good ones, but this first one from Instagram, from Seth Fine with two E's at the end, kind of caught my eye a little bit. Had to talk about it. And we try to pick questions that are like a little more general, but like this specific question about Alvin Kamara, just simply saying, what should I do with Alvin Kamara? Should I trade him? The floor is yours.
Man, I feel like putting Alvin Kamara on the trade block must be like, I don't know. That's just like, it just doesn't sit right with me.
Excruciating.
It is excruciating. Like, I know he's hurt. I know like the potential of the Saints offense is really capped, but I mean, I've been impressed with what Simeon's been able to do with the offense. And I think once Kamara is healthy, he'll kind of slide into his normal role. Like Mark Ingram, like some weeks he's cut into his workload, into Kamara's workload. Some weeks he hasn't. And so I don't know, man. I just feel like what I've said throughout this entire podcast, right? If you have a running back that is getting a large workload, like is in a workhorse role in a decent offense this late in the season, then you've got to keep him on your roster.
You think it's hard to say you should put him on the trade block? I'm saying hell no. Send it in. Trade him. 100%. Maybe it's some kind of curse because I did say Antonio Gibson was a must sell and then he got hurt and his stats decreased. Same thing happened with Kamara. Look, if you need to win your next 2 to 3 weeks, there's no way you should have him sit on your roster because one, we don't even know if he's going to play on Thursday. Him and Mark Ingram missed practice Monday and Tuesday. So chances that either of them even suit up is kind of slim right now.
Who would start in their place?
Tony Jones.
Who?
Tony Jones. Just keep an eye on him. I'm gonna
hit the waivers right now, actually.
He's really not that good of a player anyway.
Okay, never mind.
I will say Kamara does have nice upcoming matchups if he does play, but we just don't know. Like, look, you can try to sell him because again, snap count was going down, Ingram was biting into his role a bit. You're not gonna get 20 plus performances out of him every week. Yeah, you get like 16 or so points, but let's have somebody else buy Kamara for who they think he can be when in reality, you know who he is. And he's just a middle RB2, maybe not mid RB2, maybe a high-end RB2. Oh, but even then, now.
A middling RB2?
I don't know. Like, I'd rather start James Conner over Alvin Kamara right now. Is that a hot take?
No, I think that's exactly what I'm doing in one of my leagues. So,
okay. Well, there you go. I can read your mind. Let's get to the next question. Why don't you take this one?
Yep. From TikTok. TikTok. Okay. I started reading his username because it's Luke's the Bomb. And I guess the nice. You made it into from TikTok. All right. Luke's okay. The Bomb 42. I need to know if you think Allen Robinson will do okay with Andy Dalton. And if do I start him over Tyler Boyd? Let's just go with that.
Yeah. First off, good question. A little weirdly worded, but you know, it doesn't matter. We can't all be perfect. It's fine. Luke's the Bomb 42. Your awesome username makes up for it. Well, we need to know if Allen Robinson is even going to play. He didn't practice Monday. He didn't practice Tuesday, and he plays Thursday. He also isn't that good. Like, yeah, great. He had his third best game of the season with Dalton back in week 1 when he scored just 9.5 points. His season high is 10.8 points. Honestly, you shouldn't even have him on your roster. I don't even know who'd trade for him. I would cut Allen Robinson. I'd rather have Tre'Quan Smith or Robbie Anderson right now. So in this scenario, Luke, I would roll with Tyler Boyd. But even then, I would rather have Tre'Quan Smith, Robbie Anderson, Who else is also available? I wouldn't say Rondell Moore yet, but he's trending that way. I'd rather start those guys over Robinson, let alone have him on your roster. So don't even touch A-Rob, even if he's healthy this week.
Yeah, I mean, especially with the emergence of Darnell Mooney in that offense too. Like, I just think gone are the days of Allen Robinson getting just the obscene target shares he was getting for his previous 2 years in Chicago.
Sad, man. It's sad that A-Rob hasn't been able to adjust with both Dalton for a little bit and Justin Fields. Next question comes from Instagram. 12, Seabury 12, a lot of 12s, simply asks sleepers for wide receiver. And I got some sleepers for wide receiver for this week. And maybe these are kind of deep, but just some names that could pop off that most people probably aren't considered starting or playing in daily fantasy or whatever format you use. I like Kendrick Bourne versus the Titans, Robbie Anderson at Miami, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine at the Patriots, if those injuries to the wide receiver group are still very proficient. DeAndre Carter versus Seattle, possibly, if De'Ami Brown isn't fully healthy, if Curtis Samuel isn't back, and who knows if he ever will be. Deep sleeper alert, though. Nico Collins versus the Jets. He's kind of been popping off lately. He did score a touchdown against the Titans, or it got called back. Don't really remember. But the point is, those are some sleepers I like. And yeah, that's all I got to say about that. I don't know if you got any more to add.
Yeah, I mean, I was contemplating, you know, trying to find like a good person on the Lions that I could, you know, throw out there and look smart on this podcast. But you know, after looking at the stats, I think I would just hold my tongue. Your sleepers are just fine, Zach.
Thank you. We'll take them. We'll share them together. What's the next question?
Next one from TikTok. Got it right this time. It's from T-Shadow1. Ooh. Is there a certain tight end I should pick up instead of keeping Pitts?
Had to give you a tight end question. Just had to do it. It really depends.
And if Pat Freiermuth is available in your league, then yes, him.
Doubt he is. Depends on who's available, because I like Freiermuth. I like Tyler Conklin. I like Dan Arnold. The only tight end I had in my waiver column this week was Austin Hooper, because his ownership rates were low enough to where I could feel confident including him. I did have Adam Trautman, but he is out 4 to 6 weeks. Hooper's not great. He's really not, but he's produced two solid back-to-back weeks. Again, Conklin, Arnold, Freiermuth, I'll take him, but like, honestly, instead of keeping Pitts, no, you should keep Pitts over them. But if you need some tight end depth, then maybe Austin Hooper. I don't know. I'm shrugging. I'm just shrugging off camera. Like, the tight end situation is disgusting.
Yep. That's why I tend to avoid drafting them very high. And in the case of this week, tend to avoid talking about them pretty much at all. All right. Final question from Instagram, Jeremiah J19 with a strategic underscore, Mooney or Landry? Just straight up.
That seems really easy, like extremely easy. But I just mostly wanted to highlight Jarvis Landry here because I'm obviously going Darnell Mooney, right? We can both agree that's easy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. But I think it's an interesting point with Landry because he did score a touchdown. So it looks like he has 14.2 points, but that was off one rush and he had 16 yards and a touchdown on it. His receiving stats just alone would have gotten him 6.6 points with 4 receptions, 26 yards on 8 targets.
That's like Miami stat line for Jarvis Landry. Like
they're bringing him back. And look, I know we make fun of the Dolphins using Jalen Waddle like they used Jarvis Landry all those years. And now it's like Jarvis Landry's the one kind of being swamped back into that cycle. Look, I don't think there's a single Browns player I'm confident in owning right now outside of Nick Chubb. Kareem Hunt said he's trying to play Sunday night against the Ravens. I wouldn't start him right away. We'll obviously have to see his role. But look, if he comes back, then yeah, I'd say Hunt and Chubb. But no receiver, no quarterback. And I know I just touted Austin Hooper, but man, I cannot confidently get behind him enough. Just the Browns as a whole, ugh. Disgusting. Jarvis Landry is honestly a drop candidate. Him and Allen Robinson are two players I drop. I wouldn't even consider starting Jarvis Landry at any point through the rest of the season.
No, I'm right there with you. Like, at this point in the season, you've got to make business decisions for your fantasy team. And like, those players, they just are not pulling their weight.
No, they are not. And with that, we have come to the end of our week 12 episode, a day early. Hopefully you can all be thankful for that, just like we are thankful for our first sponsor, LinkMe, LinkMe. It's an awesome new social media platform. There are thousands of new users joining daily. Hopefully that can be you, and you can start posting on their feed to gain new exposure for your personal brand or business. And my favorite part, like I said at the top of the show, they are a link sharing platform, which means you can add all your social profiles or website links to your profile, share it with anyone, mostly in part to a custom QR code, which you can give someone to scan, goes right to your page. They can see your Twitter, your Venmo, PayPal, your Spotify, SoundCloud, Snapchat, anything. So easy to scan. I've been using it for months now. It is awesome. Download the app. If you download the app, you got to follow me at Zach Cohen. Feeling Cole is next. But if you do not have
Link, oh, I'm hopping on the wave for sure.
Oh, yeah. He's getting on there. They had over like 300,000 followers on Instagram, too. They are, this is not just your random app. This is a really freaking cool app. It's a great concept run by great people. So happy that they're sponsoring the show. And if you are still not on LinkMe, one, download it. Two, follow me at Zach Cohen and ask questions, and we will 100% get it into the show because we have a soft spot to our LinkMe audience. But two, if you do not have LinkMe yet, you can still contact Cole and I everywhere at Ham Analysis, at Zach Cohen FB. That is where you can find us. This has been our week 12 show. Hey, happy Thanksgiving, man. Thankful for you.
Happy Thanksgiving. What's your 1.01 of things on the Thanksgiving dinner table?
My 1.01?
Yep.
Oh, man. I mean, the turkey's always good. Look, if I could just get some like pumpkin pie or key lime pie with whipped cream, I'll be fine. I'll be fine.
Okay. Do you have gravy with your turkey, or are you a cranberry sauce type of guy?
Definitely not cranberry sauce. That is
really
seems disgusting. Gravy, if it's on it, I'll take it. I'll dip it a little bit. Nothing. I'm always really, really light on dressing or gravy or anything like you put on something, you know.
Gosh, mayo. You're like my dad. He orders dressing on the side everywhere he goes. So annoying.
Yeah, that's me. Got a problem with that?
I mean, one of these days when we meet up and we go somewhere to eat or something, this is going to be like the first thing I say to you when we sit down. But I'll take stuffing. I'll take stuffing as the 1.01.
Fair enough. What's the one thing you can't have on the table? I've been seeing this type of discussion.
Brussels sprouts, probably. Like, for some reason, like, I know some people love them, but no matter what way you cook them, no matter, you know, what method or sauce that you put on them, I just, does not sit right with my stomach.
I'll take that. You see this whole discussion like Matt Judon started about mac and cheese. I don't think I've like ever been so turned off by a statement. He's saying mac and cheese sucks. No, you take that.
I know. Like today we had media with the ASU players and ahead of the Territorial Cup rivalry week against University of Arizona. But also, you know, just discussing things that the players were thankful for. And one of our offensive linemen, Ladarius Henderson, he said that he was thankful for mac and cheese, and it had to be a little bit brown on top, a little gritty, but he said that is his favorite part of this week.
It's just so hard to screw up mac and cheese, and especially really if it's baked on the top. Oh man, well, I am hungry, but I already ate dinner, so I'm gonna have to find something else. Where you're at, you probably haven't even had dinner yet though.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about hitting up this little poke bowl joint in downtown. I think that's where I'm headed.
Oh, yeah. Right, every now college town has a Poke Bowl spot. Every college town. And with that, we are obviously thankful for you, our beloved listener, who stuck with us this entire time. If you did listen to the show, prove it to us. Tell us your go-to meal, food, snack from Thanksgiving, and the one thing you cannot have at all. You're buying yourself, buy and sell Thanksgiving. Prove to us that you stayed with us this whole time. We actually hit a record amount of downloads last week too. I forget the exact number, but we are continuing to do big things, especially with the support of LinkMe and the Bleav Podcast Network, all right here on the Bleav Podcast Network. Zach Cohen, Cole Topham, parting words, hit them.
I mean, what can I say? Like, you just say Coliseum and Gladiator and you just get all the listeners just flocked to the episode. But anyway, that's been Breakout Football Podcast. Go catch them dubs this week, everybody.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.